Seven people up here.
Woo! I got seven claps. Praise God. Praise God. Well, good morning again. My goodness. What a time we're having here this morning. Pastor, you could have just kept going talking on that. That was good. Amen? Man, that was good. You got it? Oh, boy. No pressure here. Amen. Well, it is great. You know what? I'm telling you, it is true. It is tiresome sometimes teaching two classes in a row, but it's a lot of fun. By the time the class is over, you're all energized for about 5 minutes, and then you get in your truck, and you're like, oh, Lord, what have I done? You know, but it's a lot of fun. Hey, guys, you know, Pastor Ken's preaching up a storm, Pastor Roma, Miss Anita, Pastor Dave, you know. Bible school is one of those things where it's just one of those things, man. It's awesome. I love it. I enjoy it. And I get empowered from it. I learn lots of stuff. I'm looking forward to this next semester. I'm teaching on the book of Ephesians, and we're going through that. And that's going to be a great time, I guarantee it. We're going to have a good time there in that class. And then Pastor Roma is going to be teaching Bible doctrines. Pastor Dave. Oh, he sold it. Look at that, man. I got to learn that skill. That's a pretty heavy course. Where's Pastor Dave? Just stretch your hands towards Pastor Dave right now. Amen. And then Pastor Ken, you're doing prayer? And then you're also doing the serving one too, right? Boy, he's going to teach you how to pull up your socks and do some stuff in Bible school there, Bible school students. And so the anointing is there. If you want to meet like a fantastic minister of helps, guy, leader, that's him right there. Because I've never seen anyone help out a senior pastor as much as he does, Pastor Ken. He is a prime example. You know, you hear Pastor Hagin talk about Tony Cook. Well, you got your Tony Cook right there, you know, the greatest associate ever. Amen. He's right there. So he's going to have to write. He needs to write some books. He's got stuff there, man. Hell, he's going to write one. My name's Ken. Just going to change the cover. They're the same person anyhow. Amen. Isn't it good to be in church? Amen. Oh, I'm just so thankful to be in church. You know what else I'm thankful for? I'm thankful that my parents are finally in Thunder Bay. Amen. See? They come in handy. My parents are back there. This thing came in handy. I get the point. All right? But it's so good to have my parents in town. Finally, we have grandparents. I get to drop the kids off and not see them for a week. Hallelujah. You know, it's just so wonderful. Nana's getting to spend time with her grandbabies, and the grandbabies are spending time with Nana, and, you know, the dogs are just, you know, we have a wolf pack, if you don't know. My dad is 75% husky, and so it's just one of those things. We love pups. Amen. Well, today we're going to have a good conversation about something. I've been actually on this with our kids, with our preteens, and also with our young adults this last week and a half, 2 weeks, and kind of going over, mulling over this myself, and I've been listening to Brother Hagin a little bit on this topic, and because it's something that I've been dealing with during this last little time, and I'm like, well, I'm just going to talk about what I've been dealing with, and where I've wanted to learn and grow and develop in this a little bit, and the title of this morning's message is, What Are You Worried About? And let's turn over in our Bibles to Acts chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse 5. What are you worried about? Well, the reality is there's a lot of things you can be worried about right now if you want to be. Yeah. Amen? Well, first of all you have to say is 2020. And everyone shivers. You know? It's just one of those years that, you know, it seemed like for a lot of people it was just nasty. Now, don't get me wrong. There was a lot of bad things that took place during this year. But also, last night I had a conversation with our young adults, and we talked about some bad things that affected us, but we also looked at the positive things that took place, you know, and a lot of good things took place this year, you know. I got to spend more time with our family and got to, you know, really be encouraged one another, got to spend time, some quality time, just doing things, spending great family time together, which is awesome, you know. It kind of gives you a bit of a reset from hectic life. It was a different hectic because now you got kids home, but it was nice spending time with the family as much as they were. Can anyone agree with me? You got to spend some extra time. It was nice doing different things. different adventures. You know, this whole staycation thing, you got to explore your own backyard, which was awesome, to go different places and see different things. And, you know, we live in one of the most beautiful places on earth, ladies and gentlemen. Northwest Ontario, man, we are so blessed to live here. I thank God that we live here. When I'm driving out to my parents, we're driving out 61 at the highway there. And, you know, there's many times I just find myself, I'm just thanking God for the beauty. You got the mountains there and the farmland. And, you know, it's just such a beautiful place. I am so thankful. But, you know, 2020 was a bit of a rough year for sure. You know, it was some things, a little thing called COVID-19. Don't eat bats. You know, there's things like that that happens. And, you know, it kind of messed up a lot of people. So, did you guys find Acts 12? All right, we're going to start in the New King James. You got it there? So it says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but a constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And the chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real. But though he was seeing a vision, when they were past the first and second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them to its own accord. And they went out and went down the street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And then Peter had come to himself. He said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, when many were gathered there praying. And Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and a girl named Rhonda came. Oh, Rhonda. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate. What are you doing here? Anyway. But ran and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so, and they said, "It is an angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But mentioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them, now the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, "Go tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. You see, here's good old Peter, and he's just chilling out in the prison. But let me give you some backstory. The next morning, he was about to be executed. But now we see here, here's Peter, and what's he doing while all this is taking place? Peter's having a nap. He's snoozing between two guards, and he's chained. Now, in all reality, when you think about it, if you're about to be killed the next morning, would you be snoozing? No, man. I'd be trying to chew those chains off. You know? Be trying to do something, trying to get out of there. But here's Peter, and he was just snoozing away. Well, if we start, go back up and look at something here. It says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but a constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. You see, there's power in prayer. You see, when you got, now Scripture also tells us that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But when you're praying, and you're praying for somebody who's going through some situations and some issues, well, come on now, you can start doing some work on their behalf. But you see, now Peter had peace. During this turmoil that he was going through right now, he's sitting in jail. And I'm telling you, it's not like a jail that you hear about today. This place is gross, disgusting. I mean, there's creatures crawling around there. You know, he got chains on them. It's just nasty conditions. You know, it's just not nice. It's actually a dungeon. And so here he is hanging out in this place, and he had peace. He was sleeping. So that got me thinking, why was he sleeping? Why was he not so concerned and not frantic? Because he knew something, see? Because he had the peace of God that was right there with him. As people were praying, He was snoozing. And then that angel showed up. You see, let me tell you something. When you're going through a struggle, when you're going through a pandemic, you know, you don't need to be stressing out, ladies and gentlemen. It's so easy for us to get caught up in the crazy chaos of what's happening around us. There's so many people that, you know, they just doom and gloom all the time. You turn on the news, you turn on the radio, you turn on Facebook or Instagram or whatever you're on, and I'm telling you, it's just negativity after negativity after negativity. This is going up, this is going down, we're changing the colors now to this, and you know, I go here, you got to get something shoved up your nostril to get tested, and you know, there's all this crazy stuff happening, you know? Well, a good way to curb that is to turn off the television and start limiting what negativity is coming in. You know? I don't watch much news. I don't, because it just gets to me after a while. And, you know, every now and then you got to stay up on some stuff. I just kind of with the local odds and ends and staying up to date on what's happening. But I don't watch news because it's just bleh. Amen? So you have to make sure what you're putting in, you know, it's not overpowering these negative things. Now let's just look at the quick facts here about Peter once again. Peter's between two guards. The church is praying. He's about to get killed in the morning. An angel showed up now. But now here's the thing. The angel showed up, but the angel had to do something. One translation says the angel kicked his side. Like he actually had to give him a boot. Like, Pete, come on, come on. Peter. You know, and then he turned all messy and, wake up! You know? So when they got him up, finally, well, here's Peter, and he's woken from his stupor.
Hey, what's going on here?
You know?
What's happening?
And he thought he was having a vision or a dream. He didn't think any of this was real. You know? Because that's powerful when you think about it. So now all of a sudden, he realizes his chains are gone, so he starts following this angel out through, and he's passing through the doors. The boys are still there passed out asleep, those guards. He walks through one guard post, and the boys are there, not even paying attention. Walks through the second guard post, and here he is following this angel, and then all of a sudden this angel disappears. Well, Peter's looking around. He's like, well, there goes my partner. You know? Where'd my Bonnie to my Clyde go? Like, what am I supposed to do now? You know? So he takes off, and he books it to where he knows best. He went back to his own company. He went back to his people. He went and knocked on the door, and of course that little girl, she opened it. And shut the door and ran back. You know? And I can imagine Peter's expression on his face while he's like, you know, like, can I come in? Like, what's going on? The girl's so excited that, and she's seen Peter, but the guys in the room didn't realize who it was. Like, they're like, no, you're crazy. It's a ghost. You know, you're seeing something else. Like, what's going on here? He's not. She's like, no, no, it's real. He's there. He's there. So they rush back, and here's Peter, and he's... And then they start freaking out. And Peter's like, shh, quiet. Well, he just broke out of jail. You don't want to be screaming and shouting and having a party. You know, jailbird, come on now. You know? So here's Peter, and he went there. He told, listen, it's good. Go tell the other guys. I'm out. I'm going to go elsewhere. During all of this, Peter was at peace. You know, he was in prison, and I believe that he had his faith in God. I believe that he was trusting the Lord no matter what the situation was going to be. He didn't know that there was an angel coming that night to bust him out of jail. But he did know that the Lord was on his side. Now, you see, the answer to our prayers and the way we get out of circumstances is not always the way that we think it's going to happen. Because, you know, you really don't think about blessings in the time of turmoil, now do you? Sometimes that's the farthest thing from your thinking. But let me tell you something, is that when you trust in God, and when you allow that peace, and when you got people on your side that's willing to fight with you, and if you look around this room, I see a bunch of people, a church family here that is willing to stand up for one another, that's willing to pray for one another, that's willing to be a family and do stuff. Amen? To rally around one another when the times get tough. Amen? See, that's when things start changing. The prayer of agreement is a powerful thing. Corporate prayer is a powerful thing. And when those things come together, come on now. You're going to move heaven and earth. Chains is going to fall off. Prison doors are going to blow open. Come on, you're going to walk out of that turmoil, that tribulation, that trial, that death sentence. You're going to walk right out of there. Amen? And you're going to be around people that's going to be there to build you up. Don't go back to some turkeys. You need to go back with those eagles. Come on now. When the Lord gets you out of somewhere, you keep going. You go to those high places. You go where people are going to build you up, and people are going to encourage you, and people are going to be a blessing to you. People are going to speak life into you. Amen? But you see, a lot of times we get caught in that negative stuff, man. Now, turn over your Bibles to Philippians 4:7. Philippians 4:7, New King James Version says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Well, this is the peace that Peter had, because, you know what? It surpassed his understanding, because he didn't know what was going on for a while there. As he's breaking out through the jail, and he's kind of, you know, disoriented and all those things, when he could bust out of there, he didn't know what was going on, but the peace of God was still with him. It doesn't say he was frantic. It doesn't say that he was freaking out. It said he followed the angel. You see, he had peace. Amen? Amen? We know that it works by faith. We know that you have to have faith in order for this to work. You can't have one without the other. So I'm going to ask the question, what are you worried about? You think about your life and the things that you're going through and the things that you're dealing with. In the last little while, some people's gone through some heavy stuff. You know, there's been deaths, there's been diagnosis, there's been, you know, different things that's taken place, financial crisis, you know, loss of jobs, all those things. But your outcome in that scenario is how you think upon it, how you act upon it, and what you do about it. Because if you're going to be down and out, man, that's, you're probably not going to have a great outcome. But if you start putting your faith and your trust in the Lord, come on now. And you start confessing the word of God. And you start thanking God for that peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen? And when scripture says, have faith in God, you know? You say, speak to that mountain. May it be cast into the sea. Yeah. Right? Amen. So what are you worried about? Let's keep going. 1 Peter 5:7. It says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. We give all of our cares, all of our worry, all of our concerns, all of our stresses to the Lord. We are not to be afraid or in fear. We have someone that's going to take those things. We have someone that's willing. As a matter of fact, over 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross, he already took it to hell and dropped it off. That's good preaching, Steve. I know, Steve. I'm going to pat myself on the back. Amen. Because that's exactly what happened. Your fear, your anxiety, your worry, your stress is not yours. Jesus already got rid of it. He took it to the cross. It was nailed there. By his blood that was shed, you were set free. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Amen? By his stripes, we are healed. Mentally, physically, whatever. We are healed. Wee-wee! That's something to get excited about here this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Robbie's excited. Woo! Look, he got his dancing shoes on. Look at that. We're going to have Robbie dance before the day is over. So how can we live the God kind of life if we spend all of our time being worried and afraid? You see, Peter had more work to do. So how can he live out the God kind of life and what God needed him to do if he's sitting in a prison? How can he be there and being bound by chains and being stuck in worry and stress and anxiety? How can he do what he's supposed to do? How can we do what we're supposed to do when we're being dominated by fear? How can we be successes in life when we're being dominated by stress and anxiety? Right? Now, we're supposed to be doing something. So how do we combat this? How do we deal with these scenarios? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm just excited to tell you. First off, you need to know God. You need to know who he is. You have to have a relationship with the Father. Amen? Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Amen? That's a good word right there. We can just go home and be all excited right there. We have to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. How many people in here trust in the Lord with all their heart? Anybody in here? You see, you were supposed to be doing that. The scriptures say that we're supposed to do it. In all your ways, I'm using this again, guys. I'm telling you, you need to get this at the word shop. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You can't do what you're supposed to do when you're stressing out. You can't do what you're supposed to be doing when you're worried, when you're upset, when you're messing around with all that negativity. You can't do it, Robbie. Amen? Lives can't be changed and impacted. Your family can't grow and succeed when you're down and out. It just cannot happen. Amen. See, we have to have a mental change up here. We have to change the way that we think. We have to change the way that we talk. We have to change the things that we believe in. Amen. Because I don't believe in what the news is saying. Amen. Okay? I believe in what the Word of God says. Amen. You know what? They might be stating earthly facts, but let me tell you something. I got something that trumps all of that. Amen? Amen? Fear don't live here. It can't. Now, I'm not going to lie, I don't like spiders. Mr. King, I know you don't like spiders either. You want to see a grown man cry? Put a spider near me. I think Nathan would probably do the same thing too. Am I right, Kelly? Yeah. Anybody here like spiders? Get out. That's how we got that Spider-Man crap going on. We don't need none of that. Okay? No, sorry, I don't like spiders. I mean, any shape, any size. It was crazy because my younger brother, Sherman, he doesn't like spiders either. And 2 weeks ago, we were working, and it was a spider crawling down the wall, and he had his tool belt on. We're working on my parents' place. We had our tool belts on, and there's a spider crawling down the wall. So I'm like, I don't want to see this thing. So I flicked it. And you know where it went? Right in his tool pouch. I'm like, Sherm, I'm laughing. I'm like, I'm sorry, bro. He goes, what? I said, there's a spider in your belt. What? You know, I don't like spiders. I had a tarantula in my hand one time. And I mean, the guy's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah. You know, I'm looking at this thing and I was like, oh my Lord, why would something create you? What is your purpose? Why? Like, right from the pit of hell. And then he's like, well, here, try this thing. And he put a scorpion in my hand. And I'm looking at this thing. I'm like, you dirty land lobster. Like, what in the world? Like, what were you created for? You know? It's like, I'm puzzled. I don't like creepy, crawly things. Amen? But for me to do that, that was pretty big. So I had this thing in my hand. And I was like, you know what, today, Kendra was with me when I'd done this, and she's looking at me, she knew how much I despise creepy crawlies. I'd done it because I wanted to see how far I could go with this thing, you know? And I had that creature in my hand, and it was there, I didn't like it, but it was there, you know? Sometimes you're going to be faced with a scenario that's going to be right there, you're not going to like it, but it's there, but you don't give in to it. So I had that creepy crawly there in my hand. And is everything in my power not to drop it and stomp it to its death, you know? But it was there. And I'm looking at it. But there's going to be times in your life that when you're dealing with something, you're going to have to drop it. You're going to have to get rid of it. Because you don't need that negativity, you know? Now, I've come a lot better with spiders after that scenario. I flicked them at my brother, so that's pretty good. I passed the buck. But you have to trust in the Lord, amen? Trust in our Heavenly Father, like any good father, he cares for us and protects us. You know? I know a lot of great dads that will do absolutely anything for their children. Amen? There's a lot of good, great guys in this church. There's a lot of great men, great fathers that will do absolutely anything for their children, for their grandchildren, for their nephews, and, you know, those surrogate, you know, children that they have as well. God has the very best for us, and he wants the very best for each and every one of us. But when you're full of fear and anxiety, you can become paralyzed, that you can't do what you need to do. You cannot fully operate in what the Father has for you, But let me tell you something. He's made a way for us. Because he's already said, cast all your cares upon me. So if that bank account's laughing at you, you laugh right back at it and say, Lord, I give this over to you. You got bills piling up? Well, they keep coming. You know, what do? You get lost in it and get full of anxiety and stress. Like, how am I going to pay this? No, you do your due diligence. You do what you're supposed to do. You thank the Lord that you have more than enough to cover those bills. That you can actually go out and pay someone else's bills. Amen? I might have a few you might want to pay if you're there. Pastor, you got either pill that needs to be paid? I think Pastor Ken got his checkbook there. Anyway. Cindy, sorry, it's Cindy's checkbook. I get it mixed up all the time. So sorry. So the first one is we need to know God. Well, that's another way we can combat this. Well, we know who the Father is. We have to have that relationship with Him. We have to trust in Him. We have to put our faith in Him. We have to have a little thing called salvation, you know? And that's when you've accepted the Lord and Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. And that's when everything changes in your life. Amen? Never the same. The second thing that you need to do to combat this is found in Philippians 4:6. We're going to be talking about talking to the Father. You need to have communication with God. In Philippians 4:6 in the ESV version, and it says, oh, you got the NLT, but you don't have the ES? What? All right, sorry. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So, you see that? Do not be anxious about anything. So, if you're dealing with something, you're nervous, you're stressing out, you're in fear about something, well, Scripture tells you, don't be anxious. Don't be stressing out about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In the New Living, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done because He's already taken care of that situation. You just need to open up and receive the manifestation of that blessing. He's already did it. He done did it already. Amen? So you think about those situations you're facing right now. Guess what? It's already taken care of. Sometimes it takes a little while for natural realm to catch up with the spiritual realm. But it's already done. Sometimes the body takes a little while to kick in with what the Word of God says, but it's already taken care of. It's already healed. Come on, sometimes it takes the bank account a little while to catch up with what the Word of God says, but let me tell you something, it's already filling up. Come on. Sometimes that thinking that you got going on in your head, and sometimes it's a little slow to catch up with what the Word of God says, but let me tell you something, it's catching up. You getting anything out of this today? Or are you thinking about Swiss Chalet? What's going on here? Not going to lie, I just had a chicken and rib combo come flying across my head. I don't know why. Just all of a sudden, it just Swiss Chalet just flashed there, man. Festive meal deal. Lord is doing something. We've stepped up from KFC, Ernie. We're going right to the chicken house, buddy. Swiss Chalet. Rotisserie. We're not made for that deep fried stuff no more, buddy. Scripture says that we're supposed to reign as kings in life. Kings ain't eating no dirty bird. Come on now, we're eating rotisserie chicken, brother. Woo! Here we go. Do not be anxious about anything. It's so easy to be anxious about everything. Scripture says, don't be. Don't worry about anything. But I like to worry. There's actually people who like to stress out. They're addicted to stressing out. Well, get addicted to something else. Like something good. Like chicken. You know? Snow machines. Fishing. Jesus. Get addicted to something. Come on now. Because we need to replace that foolishness that's in our life. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. You need to communicate with the Father. How do you build a relationship? You have to communicate. You have to talk. Right? You just can't sit there and stare at each other. That's extremely awkward. Because it gets to the point to where they don't want to see your wrinkles anymore. You know? You know, they want to see your crooked nose, your snaggle tooth. You got to communicate. Amen? And so we have to talk to the Father. And we just don't talk to Father about some things or certain things, but this is right here. Instead, pray about everything. So whatever situation, but you know what? You just don't have to talk to God when there's trouble, because God is not an in case of emergency pull switch. A lot of times we treat God as a lifeboat. You start having issues, you hit that iceberg, boat starts going down, abandon ship, where's Lord? You know? No. Is that instead of abandoning ship, he should be the skipper, going around the iceberg, helping you navigate your life. You should put your trust and your faith in him. Come on now. Tell him what you need and thank him for all he has done. So you ask him, and then you thank him for it. Because for all he has done. Past tense, has. It's done. Woo! So what do you believe in God for? Because you already got it. So start thanking him for it. So what are you worried about? Some of y'all still worried about worrying? No. Another one here. I only got like 37 points, so don't even worry about it. We'll get through them. Yeah, Pastor Rick. I love that man. The only man I know can get through 26 points in 45 minutes. It's unbelievable. I mean, he's got sweat dripping off him, there's buckets around him, and he's just, there's stuff flying everywhere. Buddy, you get points. When you're taking notes, you might not be able to read your notes, but you got notes. Amen? Am I right? Your thumbs are on your phone going all out like this. Number three, it tells us here how we deal with this is you don't have to carry that burden. You don't have to carry the burden. You ever feel like you got the weight of the world on your shoulders? You ever feel like there's just so much stuff going on, you can get so busy doing different things? Oh, man. I felt like that, not going to lie. Pastor, you ever felt like that? You just got the weight of the world crashing down? You know, carrying around Pastor Ken all day long? No. But, you know, just dealing with stuff, you got stresses and strains, you might have children issues, dog issues, you know, work issues, and you just got all these things coming upon you that's just crushing you, you know. Sometimes we get so busy that we start losing sight of God, and it feels like all these pressures are just coming in. Could be school, you know. We talked about this last night with the young adults, and some of them are in school, and school is such a vital, important thing, but yet it can be such a crusher. You know, the stress, the anxiety, the stuff that goes on with it, the pressure that's there in school, it can be tough. Not in Faith Life Bible College, though. But, you know, school can be very tough. And you just feel like, oh, Lord, I can't do this. I can't get through this. It's just too much. I just can't do it. Well, if you keep saying you just can't do it, you're not going to do it. Lord, you know what? This is tough right now. I'm going through a hard time, but I know you got me, and I know you're going to help carry me through. So, Father God, I just put my trust in you today. Father God, I thank you that I'm going to get good marks in school, that my employer is going to like me, that I'm going to be successful in what I do. Lord, I just thank you for your blessings upon my life, whatever it is. Lord, I just thank you that I can do all things through God, Christ who strengthens me, that I cast all my cares upon you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you that I have your thoughts, your mind. Lord, I have your wisdom in these situations, Father. I just thank you that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that your word says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, that I am set free, that I am the head, I am not the tail, I'm above, I'm not. And you just start going, you get over there, you get excited, you start believing what you're saying. Oh, you know, woe is me. You know? Sometimes you got to fake it till you make it, baby. Sometimes you just don't feel like doing it. Sometimes you just don't feel like being happy. Sometimes you just don't like dealing with those situations. Easier to give up. Don't quit. Don't give in to that fear. It doesn't belong to us anymore. 1 Peter 5:7, it says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Over 2,000 years ago, God sent Jesus to die on the cross and took our sin and our sickness and our worry and our shame. He took it all. It no longer belongs to me and you. It's no longer ours to deal with. We are the children of God and we have been delivered from darkness. We have to remember that we don't have to carry it any longer. It is no longer ours. There's a song that plays on the radio, and I've heard it sung a few times. I'm no longer a slave to fear because I'm a child of God. We no longer have to be bound by that. You no longer have to be like Peter, bound up with chains and sat between two guards. But instead, God's come in, give us a big kick in the butt and say, get up! The chains are falling off. Come on, we're going to walk past those guards. We're going to walk past those demons that are there in our way. We're going to walk past those scenarios. Pastor Dave mentioned that country song, if you're going through hell, keep on going. Because then this country song continues on and says, you might get out before the devil even knows you're there. Well, you know what? You need to be in there and make sure the devil knows you're there so you can make some noise and mess with him a little bit. Because listen, buddy, I'm getting through this scenario. Yeah, you're going through hell, keep on going. Don't stay there, you're going to burn. I don't like it hot. Like, I mean, I got to go to heaven because I just can't handle that much heat. Okay? Like, I need fire insurance, all right? Like, I'm telling you, I don't like hot. So if I'm going through hell, I'm getting out of there. You know? Because there's that message. It was a Brother Hagin or someone preaches, what in hell do you want? There's nothing in hell that I want. It's too hot there. You know? I don't want to stay in the fire. I don't want to stay in the flames. I'm more of like a 65, 70, even 75 degree type guy. Anything above 90 degrees, that's just ungodly. You know? My sweet grandmother, she loves it warm. I mean warm to the point to where I'm almost afraid to walk in there because I'm thinking it's a crematorium. Like, it's hot, okay? It is warm, you know? She loves the heat. Me, not so much. I used to go to my in-laws' place, and they had a wood furnace in their house in the basement there. And I'm sure Judy would try and melt us, my mother-in-law, because, man, it was hot, you know? And I'm just thinking, man, oh, man, I don't ever want to go to hell. I'm going to love Jesus the best I can. We don't have to carry burdens, ladies and gentlemen. We cast it over to Him. We give it. Cast all your cares. Not always the easiest thing to do now, is it, to cast all your cares? Sometimes you're dealing with hurts. Sometimes you're dealing with, you know, things that are just bad. And sometimes it's things in the past that really messed you up and you're just holding on to that unforgiveness or those things. Well, cast that away. Get rid of that, because when you have that in the way, when those things are still there, you're hindering what God can do in your life. You got to get rid of it. And I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of us in this place, we've been hurt in the past by close loved ones or family or friends or something, you know? You know? Sorry that happened. But here's the thing, is that we have to get to the place in our lives to where we can move on. Because why are we letting the devil live rent-free in our heads? You know? And controlling us and us cutting our blessings short when we're living with that and we're holding on to those burdens. They need to go, eh? They need to go. Number four. It says, guard yourself in your thought life. 1 Thessalonians 5. 21 to 24 in the New Living Translation. Wouldn't you give it up for our computer girl for keeping up with us with all these scriptures, man? These, I'm telling you. Thanks, Yasmina. It says, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Now, may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. You see, we have to guard ourselves. It says right there in verse 22, stay away from every kind of evil. So we got to be staying away from certain things that are going to bring us down. Now also turn over your Bibles to Philippians again, chapter 4, verse 8. We already looked at verse 6, but let's look at verse 8 here. So we're guarding yourself, and you guard your thought life. You see, the things we're supposed to be thinking on is summed up right here in Philippians 4:8, and it says, finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of God, rebuked, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, this continually, or think continually on these things. That word right there, where's my pointer? Oh no, I've lost it. I need to go to the word shop and get one. Only $10 comes with a free CD. So, if there is anything worthy of praise, think. Everyone say think.
Think.
Now say it like you mean it.
Think.
There we go. Think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and plant them in your heart. Okay, we got to go over here because these guys over here, I don't know. All right, here we go. What are we supposed to be doing?
Think.
Continually. These guys are pretty, one more time.
Think.
That's right, we think. We think. See, that's the problem, is that we choose to think on the wrong things. Well, if that's not highlighted in your Bible or highlighted on your iPhone, don't use a highlighter. There's a little app on there on your phone. You can do it. You can highlight scripture. Don't use a marker or whiteout on there. It gets expensive. Anyway, you think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. Don't be thinking about the garbage of this world, but think about the things of God. Amen? We have to guard ourselves. We have to make sure we're guarding our thought life. Between our ears is a thing called a brain. I know some people, it's a shock. What? But we have to use that thing. God has given us that thing to use. You know? My wife tells me that it's the least used thing that I have. I don't disagree. It's okay. I'm coming to terms with it now. But this thing between our ears, it gives us a lot of grief. Has that thing in between your ears given you grief? Because it seems like there's a disconnect between here and your heart sometimes. But see, we have to get what you're thinking and what you're believing on the inside, and it's got to line up with what you're saying. Because then when you're thinking and believing the good things, well, you're going to start speaking the good things. Amen? And so that means you've got to guard yourself. Well, Scripture already, where we looked at Scripture, and it says, guard yourself from every evil thing. So we have to remove ourselves from things that are going to hurt us. That means you might have to change the places that you go. You might have to change some relationships around a little bit. You know, some of the habits that you have. You know, where we talked about going to KFC, now it's going to be Swiss Chalet, Ernie. You know, it's just changes that are good. Amen? It is important that we become aware of what's going on in our life. We have to know what's happening to us. Amen? Now here's the number five. Say we've reached it, number five. And it says right here, we walk by faith and not by sight. I like that. All right. Well, 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, for we live by believing and not seeing. For we live by believing and not seeing. Sometimes it's hard because a lot of people, they want to see before they believe. Well, that's reverse. It's the wrong direction. Turn over your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. And this will be our last scripture, maybe. I can't make no guarantees. Matthew 14, verse 25 to 37 in the New Living Translation. And it says, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on water. Wow. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. And they, in their fear, they cried out, it's the ghost! But Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage. I am here. Then Peter, oh my Lord, look who showed up again. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you. Walk on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Now, you see here, where there is fear, there is a lack of faith. Ooh. We need to replace fear with faith. You see, Peter stepped out of the boat in the first little while where he was there. He's like, oh, I'm walking on water. And he's looking at Jesus. But then all of a sudden, he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he started looking at the waves and stuff around him and what was going on, and he realized, I'm walking on water, and there's waves and stuff going on. You know? This is crazy. And what happened to him? He started to sink. Have anyone walked on water? When it's frozen. Us northerners, we're real spiritual. We walk on water all the time. But we don't walk on liquefied water. But see, here was Peter walking on the water. He, for the first few minutes, he had enough faith to step out there and follow Jesus. He was looking at Jesus. But you see what happens when you start looking at the stuff that's going on around you, when you take your eyes off the prize? He started going down, man. He went down, 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 down. And he cried out to Jesus, help me! What did Jesus do? Well, what'd you stop looking at me for? No. Jesus reached out, grabbed him, pulled him up. He said, come on. Now you're all wet. Let's go. You know? Sometimes you're going to get caught going down when you take your eyes off of Jesus. Sometimes there's stress and anxiety. So you're just going to look away from God, and you're not going to look at, you know, those things of God. And you're going to forget about the scriptures, and you're going to forget about what Pastor Roma said, or, you know, you're going to forget those things. But let me tell you something. All you got to do is that when you find yourself in that situation, when the pressure of life and the storms of life is just raging, all you got to do is just reach out to Jesus. Because you don't have to be going through that fear and that anxiety anymore. You don't have to be going through it alone. You get out of there. He's going to pick you up, and you guys are going to walk back to the boat. And not only are you going to walk back to the boat, but when you get in that boat, the storm's going to cease. The winds are going to stop, the waves are going to calm down, and the Lord's going to be right there with you. And you're going to continue on your journey. And you might face another storm, but guess what? The Lord is right there with you. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Amen? Amen? Everyone stand on your feet. Hopefully you got something out of that this morning. I got 8 hand claps that time. One more. I've gone up. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. You know what? The Lord is so good. The world is so bad sometimes, but the Lord is so good. So what in the world are you worried about? Because when God is for me, who can be against me? The devil's going to try and convince you that you're a failure. The devil's going to try and convince you that you got nothing left to offer. The devil's going to try and convince you that you got some issues and you're not going to get through it, that you're done, that this is a death sentence, that you're going to be out on the street, that this is going to be the worst season ever, that you're just down and out. Well, let me tell you something. We just went through hell. But guess what? We're still coming out on top. This pandemic has hurt a lot of people. Let me tell you something. Doesn't matter because God is for me. Doesn't matter what's going on. The world might be falling apart. But he who built his house upon the rock, well, we built our house upon the rock. The storms of life came, come, but it stood firm. That's what we're doing. What are you worrying about? What in the world are you worrying about? We're going to think on the things of God. We're going to pray. We're going to talk to him. We're going to have open communication with the Father. And man, we're just going to have a good time and walk in the blessings that he has for us. Amen? Amen. Pastor Roma, you got anything you want to say? Give Pastor a big hand as he comes.